Let's turn this afternoon to Exodus chapter 3 to read the story of Moses and the burning bush. We'll read the first 15 verses. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hivites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said, Moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations. I'd like to conclude with verse number 15. The Lord bless the reading of his word. May we all bow before the Lord in prayer.
O Lord, our God, as we come before thee this afternoon on bended knees, we too, as thy servants, would come before thee and hide our face, humble ourselves before Thee, Almighty God. And when Thou hast appeared unto Thy servant Moses, and he was afraid because of the reverence of the living God, and we too reverence Thee this afternoon, because we have gathered here to worship, to honor and glorify Thy name, and to uplift the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that we might look into this word this afternoon, and as our brother would meditate upon it, that we would attentively listen to what Thy words would bring to us once again in this day set aside for us to worship. And so we're thankful, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity once again. For we know that there are those in foreign lands that don't have these opportunities. They gather in secret, in quietness, for fear of the government. And we can gather here quietly, unmolested, in the freedoms that we have in our land. And so we thank Thee from the depths of our hearts. We pray for those that are suffering for Thy name's sake. We know there are those that are in prison, those that are even dying for Thy sake. Be with them and comfort them and be their guide also. We're mindful, Heavenly Father, this afternoon of our loved ones that are unable to gather with us for various reasons. And we know, Heavenly Father, that their heart is desirous to be here, but because of old age, because of circumstances in their lives, because of maybe death in the family, Father, You know each one, and we pray that You'll be real in their lives as they look to Thee and put their trust and their cares upon Thee. We're thankful, Father, for the promises that we find in Your word, that You would never leave us nor forsake us. And as we read the scriptures of where Thy servant Moses learned this over the years, and how You led him and the people from out of that pagan country of the Egyptians. And we know, Father, that You will lead us also into the paths of righteousness if we will but obey Thy word and be led of Thy Holy Spirit in our lives. We're mindful, Heavenly Father, of those that gather with us that don't know Thee as their personal Savior, who don't have the Holy Spirit, perhaps, indwelling in their hearts, have never been baptized with the Spirit of truth and honest. They don't know Thee, but would perhaps desire and would want to know this way of life. Perhaps are confounded are confused as to what to do, where to go, who to say, who to see. Father, help them to find their way while the day of grace is still at hand. Help them to come to the knowledge of this truth, that they too can say that their God is the one that they want to worship for the remainder days of their life. Help those perhaps that have made this beginning, that are seeking out their salvation, young souls that want to serve Thee, not knowing how many years they may have ahead of them, and yet are willing to surrender their life. We're thankful for those souls, and we pray for them, pray that they might continue to search and seek out Thy will for their lives as well. So, Heavenly Father, there are many requests and desires that we have. You know our wants and our needs, our desires. And we pray, Father, that You'll provide for each and every one that would call upon Thee with a sincere and upright heart. We know that in experience and times past that You have heard our prayers and our pleas, and You've answered those. And so we give You the thanks and the praise and the honor for the answered prayers down through the ages. So may we continue to walk this way of life. May we continue to serve Thee in all uprightness and truth. And as we look into Thy Word this afternoon, we pray that we might be again reminded of the truths that lie within. Bless our being together as we call upon Thee, and we promise, Father, to give Thee all the praise and the honor and the glory that is worthy of Thy name. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
So very thankful to be with you again. It was a blessing this morning to hear the word. It's like a medicine for our souls. It is rich in nourishment for our spiritual man. Guide us and direct us aright. And there's an appetite in my heart for feasting on the word together. And thankful for the opportunity. Moses saw the burning bush, and it piqued his interest and curiosity as to what lay beyond and why this was happening. God saw his approach. He was pleased that Moses took the time out to turn aside from his busy activities and the thoughts and concerns of his life to look to the light, to the look to the one who is full of holiness and truth, and to see who he is. And no one who makes that effort to come to the Lord, to seek him, to seek to understand him and his ways, will leave empty-handed and without a blessing, but will come from the presence of the Lord, as it were, changed, growing in the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We see Moses here, who is now a shepherd, a meek man, tending the flocks of his father-in-law. He had fled his consequences of former decisions and former life in fear and anxiety, leaving those things to become prepared. And we see God making his appearance and making himself known to Moses in a way that catches his attention, in a way that draws him in. And Moses decided, I will now turn aside. My friend, the word is before you. Will you turn aside from the pursuits of this life, the pleasures for your flesh, to seek the Lord, to seek your soul's salvation? Will you do as Moses and leave everything behind and approach to pray, to read, to seek with all of your heart? Because you will find him when you seek with all of your heart. And hold nothing dearer than to be in the presence of the Lord. There are many comforts and consolation that we can draw from this experience that Moses had. We see that God called Moses by name. We see that God was paying attention to the affliction of his people. While it seemed he was distant, he took notice and he knew. And also, for the servant of God, for Moses, we are reminded that the Lord will be with his servants. He will strengthen, he will abide, and he will provide for the needs of all who would put their trust and their faith in him and leave the outcome to him, and all of the questions and the concerns about what ifs placed in the capable hands of God, he will be with you. These are the things that Moses learned, and yet there's much we can draw from, because God knows your name too. He called Moses by name. He called Samuel as a young man by name into his service. He called to Mary in the garden after the resurrection by name in that time of great sorrow to give her a great and personal word of comfort. We know that we often forget. We forget the important things. We forget the mundane things. But God does not forget. And he did not forget Moses' name. And Moses was a shepherd. He knew how to call his sheep. And our Lord is a good shepherd. He knows how to call those that are straying away from him. Those that are not part of his fold, he knows how to beckon, how to call you by name, and how to draw you to himself. Listen for your name. He's calling. And he calls his name twice. Oh, the patience of God and his patient call. Often, many of us can recount how we pushed God aside for another and more convenient day, but how patient and loving was the call of our shepherd who persevered in seeking us out. As the song and the hymn writer says, over bloody footsteps, pondering, seeking out one who is lost and straying and going in paths that will hurt them. Do you know those paths? Do you know the thorns that poke into your feet as this world and sin deceive you? He's even following you there. He may call once, he may call twice. He patiently calls, and he knows your name. Moses said, "Here am I." Samuel was instructed to say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Moses comes and he's willing to listen. Now that he has heard his name, he is willing to listen to what else the Lord would have for him to do. Lord tells him not to get any closer, but to put off his shoes from off his feet. The place whereon he was standing was holy ground. The place was holy because God was there. The command was given because there is one lawgiver, as we heard this morning. And the heart that is ready to hear the word of the Lord will hear that word and will obey. We read in the New Testament that the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let all who name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That foundation of God stands sure, that Jesus described as hearing the words and the commands of Jesus Christ and following them. That is the foundation upon which we, if we are to be wise stewards of the things that we hear, that is the foundation. And it has this seal. It has this insignia, this imprint upon it to remind us that the Lord knows them that are his. And so, because of Moses' obedience, we see an example. An example of taking off the shoes. Perhaps symbolically, it's taking off the shoes, you're standing a little bit lower. Depending on what kind of shoes you wear, it might be a lot lower. But it reminds us, when we come into God's presence in prayer, it's ours to decrease and His to increase. To hear His word. If we do not take off the shoes and lower ourselves in our own sight, we will find it very difficult to obey. But if we see the Lord for His holiness and for His glory and who He is, we will find it is right. It's a good place to be a servant and to be lowly in heart. Not only lowly physically. These shoes that Moses was wearing were no doubt dirty from the roads that he was walking on. Perhaps from the fields of sheep covered in manure from his busyness. Oh yes. The filth and the dirt of this world. And the things that weigh us down from the concerns about our work and so forth. They need to be put behind so that we can be attentive. That we can be like waiters, waiting on the Lord, attending to His very word without distraction, ready to hear. If you have your shoes off, you can hit the road really quick. And you can come and you can go, no problem. You take your shoes off, you're staying for a while. You're giving enough time to sit and be quiet, to hear, to linger and meditate on the commands of the Lord. A very vivid picture. The Lord tells Moses that He's the God of his father. I don't know how much time Moses spent with his father. He wasn't raised in his house, though his mother weaned him. But he knew enough from the example of his father about God. What a blessed heritage. What a blessed heritage to know of God from those that have gone before. We read in Hebrews chapter 11 of those of faith that have gone before, and we're instructed in Hebrews chapter 12, and seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, looking to the one who is the light that has come into the world, who reveals himself through the word, and is beckoning for your attention at this very hour. It's a picture of what Moses is going through. And it's a picture of us coming together to worship at the feet of our Savior. Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look upon God. But he stayed in the presence of the Lord. And he humbled himself. And he was meek. And he was reverent when in the presence of the Lord. He knew that that was important. Later on, the Lord uses the staff that Moses had and turns it into a serpent. And he doesn't just stand there and hide his face. He actually runs and gets out of the way. There's two different fears. One fear of respect, reverence, standing in awe of the holiness of God, and yet fear, but not torment. The other one of the serpent was torment, and he had to run away. The fear that we have for the Lord does not cause us to run away from His side, but to draw closer, to stay and linger and to listen. And the Lord begins to reflect on what He has seen. He saw the sorrows and the affliction of the people that were in Egypt. He heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. He says, "For I know their sorrows." I find such beautiful comfort and consolation from these words because it tells us that God observed and was understanding of man's plight. and the grief of his people as they suffered. Even so far back then, he was never far removed, and he heard their cries. And we, who are in this time of the new covenant, we receive even more vivid, as it were, John says the word that we have touched, that we have seen, that we have handled, we declare unto you. The word became flesh. Jesus Christ came and dwelt among us. And he was a man of sorrows, and he was acquainted with our grief. And by his stripes, by the beatings, the whippings, the scourging that he faced, he brings us healing. He brings us new life. So God has always understood, and he has always had that tender spot for his creation and a love and a pity for mankind. But perhaps it was for us to know how much he knows and how much he can relate. He sent his son. He sent his son for you and for me to suffer and to experience it so that we would know that he knows. And that we can have confidence in his word, that he always fulfills it, that he truly does love and care for his children. And he said, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of Pharaoh. And did he not do that for us? Our taskmaster, Satan, who kept us in bondage of sin and who deceived us, Jesus has come down to save us from that slavery. And we are given, by the power of his resurrection, the ability to turn away from temptation, from sin, to be able to say no to those things that would be hurtful to our souls and the things that God hates, and say yes to our Lord and Savior, to say yes to his ways and to follow in his footsteps. Only by his help and his strength would we ever dare to claim such a great privilege. He has come down to deliver. And it's true, he did the work of deliverance, but he's coming to Moses. Lord Jesus Christ did a great work upon the cross, and he has accomplished our salvation. And yet he comes to us and asks us, will you participate? Will you be a willing vessel and hold my word within your heart and trust in me? He has come to provide that deliverance and to provide an inheritance, a good land and a large flowing with milk and honey, a land where there are no more tears or sorrows, a land that we all aspire to be in with the Lord for eternity, where tears are wiped dry and worship flows with the milk and the honey, to our Lord and God who makes it all possible. And thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. The eyes have not seen nor the ears have heard what the Lord has prepared for them that love him. Moses, do you want to participate? Do you want to be a part of that joyous reunion and that homecoming that will take place? So God invites Moses, come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Though God could have easily have appeared unto Pharaoh just as he had to Moses and done all the miracles all by himself, he asked Moses, he asked you and me to participate, to be laborers in his vineyard, to be helpers of one another's joy, And Moses asks a very good question. Although we find out that his questioning reveals a lack of faith on Moses' part, I believe that we can all relate to his apprehension, having hesitated following the Lord's leading and his clear instruction. I think we can all relate. But he asks a good question. Who am I? At times of abundance, and when things are going well, the question, who am I, is sometimes asked by philosophers, by people, and just in their daily lives. It often has a flavor of, what are the things that I like? And what are my preferences? What do I enjoy? Who am I? What makes up my pleasure? Not so with Moses at this time. He's in the presence of God. He's getting in touch with the reality of his frame, that he's dust. How small am I? What can I possibly do? How many of us have knelt by the side of our bed, wondering, how could I possibly be faithful to the Lord and serve him for all my life? That soul that wonders, who am I? What do I amount to? When they seek after the Lord, they find a satisfactory answer. If they would insist upon finding out who they are, they will be disappointed. And they will never find enough strength, enough faithfulness, enough will or courage to take another step. And so it is with all of us, that this step where self and our ability and how we can see ourselves taking these next few steps and coming short, the next step must be a step of faith. There's no two ways about it. There's no sure path in your strength or in my strength or in the ability of some teacher to be able to help you enough. You need to rely on the Lord. And God knows this. God did not start speaking to Moses about his wonderful attributes. He reminded him, don't worry about what you can and you cannot do. Remember this, certainly I will be with thee. That is what we need to take with us this afternoon. The challenge that we face, the burdens that we carry, is it not enough that the Lord would be with us? That he would offer to shoulder the burden? That he would say, cast your cares upon me. I care for you. Those of you who labor, come to me and find your rest. Certainly, I will be with thee. And I find it beautiful and yet challenging to see this token, the sign that God would give Moses. Normally we think of signs as something that we would observe and see before we would take a step of faith so that we know we're going to go in the right direction. We like that kind of comfort. The Jews at the time of Jesus wanted to see a sign. If we see the sign, then we believe. But the way that God is displaying the sign or this token to Moses at this time is, first you believe, and then you see. And that is taking a step in faith. Do you know what the next step will be? Do you know what is around the bend? God knew it all. He knew that he would send Moses. He knew that Pharaoh would resist him. He knew that he would bring the plagues, and he knew that they would be set free by and by. God knows what lies on the path of our life too. And that is our great comfort. He will not leave us nor forsake us, those who are his children. So may one and all embrace the word of God, take his comfort, hear his call, follow, obey, and find the comfort and consolation that he will be with us, that we might also be with him for eternity, which is our hope and our goal. May God bless his word.
When Brother Robert talked about God calling Moses by his name, it reminded me of how he knows our names as well, each and every one of us. You see, we are the sheep of his pasture. And in John we read where he is the shepherd of the fold. And it says that he entereth in the door. He that entereth in by the door is the sheep, shepherd of the sheep. And to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And so we being his children, we being his sheep of his pasture, do we know the voice? Do we hear? Are we tentative enough to hear his voice when he calls? And he will make it plain and clear for us when he calls us. So may we thank the Lord that he knows our names, even as he knew Moses' name and many others that we read in the scriptures. So thankfully we can say he knows our name and he does call us. Amen.